Welcome to Talking Baloney.
Calvin Coco Pop.
This is Bucci.
Oh, gosh.
What is going on?
No script allowed.
What are you, some kind of bot? Come on, people.
Oh, yeah.
You want a pickle, you gotta give him a pickle, right?
I want to be a movie star.
Wow, that sounds so interesting.
Fresh and quick.
Pudgy pizza.
Part of the Baloney Nation.
Jim Deasy.
You guys still there?
Jim D.
Hey, the big guy.
There you are.
What's going on, man?
What is going on?
Man, it's been a bit. It has.
Yeah. So, you know, just so we're live right now, so just so we don't lose any viewers immediately, let's get right to our main topic.
Yes.
We're talking Cobra Kai.
Oh, my God. Listen. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
I'm addicted. I've been addicted to the show since it started, and it's worth the, you know, it's worth another price increase from Netflix. Thank you, Netflix. But they got us. They got us hooked. They know what they're doing. This Cobra Kai is, man, this season, this last season, insane. Insane.
Yeah. So I guess the first question is, if you had to compare, contrast, season 4 to the first 3 seasons, where does it rank? How did you feel? Did you notice like any drop off in quality or an increase in quality? What'd you think?
Well, I gotta say the Terry Silver character is phenomenal. Man, I did not see that swerve coming at the end. I felt like maybe they would go at it each other, you know, like maybe battle a little bit, but The way it went down at the end, I was like, oh, snap. Now he's, yeah, this is a, yeah, major swerve. Like, you could see this turning into a maybe crease coming over to the other side down the road kind of thing. I don't know. But you get that. It almost had a WWE feel to it at the end, like that swerve. Like, if it would have ended with, you know, Shawn Michaels super kicking Marty Jannetty through a Cobra Kai window, I would have never saw it coming. What did you think?
So my thoughts were that season 4 was like the same quality. Like I didn't see any like drop off.
No drop off at all.
I thought it was one of the better seasons. You talked about Terry Silver. I thought Terry Silver in Karate Kid 3 was an over-the-top, unrealistic character. And I thought they totally redeemed him in this season.
Yeah.
The way they took him and brought him down to earth. And then he had that one line that kind of explained his bad acting when he said he was on a lot of cocaine back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I thought he was great. I thought his evolution from being like this guy who had gotten away from it and then came back and got all crazy again.
I like what they did with his character where they brought it down to like he was all of a sudden now he was teaching too at the same time. Like, you know, it's not always about striking first anymore. It's like, let it play out. Let's build up to it. I love the new action scenes. Like there was a lot more action scenes in this season than there has been in the last 3. Like, yeah, I love that roof jump scene with Danielson's daughter and with Johnny. Cause it's, you could see it coming. You knew that he was like, yeah, it's just his training style is completely different. And you just know at the end somewhere they're going to have to coexist and get along. You saw it at the end. And, you know, when they, but yeah, I like how they had the tournament and the way that it did, you know, without giving a spoiler out to the whole thing for those who didn't watch it. If you didn't watch it, you're dumb. You really are. Cause you should have been watching. It's the most watched thing on TV right now, but it's like, I like the ending of it. I loved it. I mean, it really leads you start to wonder who they're going to bring in next time. Who's coming in next season?
Yeah. Well, so what happened at the very end? Who did we see show up?
I'm stumped. Wait a minute. Oh. Hold on. Wait a minute. I can't remember now. Who was that at the end?
It was from Karate Kid 2.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Kneeling at the grave with Mr. Miyagi and Danielson. I saw that. You know, that kind of swerved me, too, because I really thought he was talking to Mr. Miyagi. and then when they pan the camera, I'm like, oh, snap. It looks like there's an allegiance forming. But where does that put Johnny? If those two hook up, is Johnny going to be in the middle of all that, or is it going to be him and Danielson, and then Johnny and maybe Kreese?
I don't know if he goes back to Kreese. I don't know. I think this is, you know, Danielson realizing that Miyagi-Do doesn't have enough offense, and rather than adapt Johnny Lawrence's style of karate, he's looking to Japan and Okinawa for... Because I believe when he went back in season 3 to Japan, that guy, whose name I should know, but I don't, but that guy showed him, like, the lost hidden arts of some Miyagi-Do offense that he didn't know.
Yeah, it was that whole, like, pressure point thing, and I mean, he did a couple of them on Johnny in that little fight scene they had. I gotta say, that fight scene was pretty comical because you just knew neither one of them were gonna lose. You could just feel it. You knew, you know, Johnny's not gonna lose, Danielson's not gonna lose, and you just knew it had to end in a WWE style hokey ending where they both knock each other out. So I thought that was good. I thought it was good because, you know, it didn't make either one of them look weak. But I definitely got to say, man, you know, I'm not sure how everybody else feels about it, but I'm really starting to like Johnny's character. I like Johnny's character evolution more so than Danielson. I feel like Danielson is going backwards and Johnny is going forward.
Okay, explain that a little more.
So I feel like Danielson's just, he's got drama all the time. You know, whether he's fighting with his kids or whether, you know, and his son there is just a little, well, I mean, they kind of, his son got what he deserved at the end. But it's like, you know, Johnny's kind of, you know, he's evolving. He's learning to like people more, build relationships. He's learning to be open-minded. He's learning to, you know, love the kid and stuff like that and all that other things when, you know, it seems like Ralph Macchio's character is just like that rich guy that's just like, ah, poor me, the whole time.
All right. So we saw Johnny and Danielson have to team up.
Mm-hmm.
We knew, we talked about this at the end of season 3. How would that go? So what did you think of that?
You knew it was going to be. Well, you kind of knew it was going to be rough. You did. Yeah. I mean, I liked it when they were going together. I mean, you could just feel there was a lot of tension there. You could just, you know, watching the episode, a lot of tension. But you also could feel that, like, I almost had that feeling ahead of time, like, all right, they're going to be sneaking behind each other's backs doing some training. And sure enough, that stuff was happening. But you knew they were going to be able to, they're going to try to do it, but they weren't going to be able to do it coexist. It's just their fighting styles are so different and neither one can consent to the other one. And it's, you knew it was going to go exactly the way that it went.
Did you like that? Did you like that the story? Cause I don't know. I kind of wanted them to get along more than they did.
I think the way that they did it though, at the end, at the tournament where they kind of, you know, they gave the nod to each other that we do have to do this together. It's the only way to win, when they realized it was what's good for the kids and not what's good for each other. So I kind of like how they put that spin on it at the end. But yeah, I would have liked to have seen them hook up, you know, join forces and do these ultimate training montages. And I didn't think there was enough training montages in this. That's the only thing that I would take away from the season 4 was that, you know, you're reuniting Johnny and Danielson and they're training together. There should have been some better. I love the Danielson Johnny training montage where he was doing the hot coals and stuff like that. But other than that, there wasn't a big focus on the training with the kids.
And so we're talking Cobra Kai season 4, if you just joined us. We had some technical issues, so I'll post the full episode later because nobody got to see the first 10 minutes where we talked. But beyond that, it's going great.
Perfect. Awesome. Welcome, everybody.
Yeah, and, you know, basically an overview, we both really liked season 4.
Yeah.
We thought the dynamics between Johnny and Daniel-san made up the bulk of the season. But we also saw an expansion of characters. Because I think Daniel's son, his actual son, who existed in the show, but only for like a line here or there, it was mostly forgotten. All of a sudden, he's aged about 5 years. And now he's got a storyline where he is basically the little Johnny Lawrence who's bullying other kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just going to say this right now. He gets absolutely what he deserves at the end of the season.
Well, and I just lost the connection with Jim Deasy, but you can see him right there. He's happy. He's glad to be a part of the show, and we'll try to get him back in a second or not. And he's gone. And he's back. Maybe. Say something now? No. Nothing.
Calvin Cocoa Pop.
Got nothing. So this whole episode will be edited and put up at a later time, and it's going to be awesome. But for our live viewers, why don't you disconnect and try calling back? No? No? All right, that's a freeze of Jim Deasy. Not as good as the last one. Still looks kind of happy, despite all the technical problems. And we will bring him up again. We're talking Cobra Kai season 4. Baloney Kai, as you see in the graphic.
Can you hear me now?
And we can hear Jim Deasy.
Oh my God. I got this stupid thing on my phone that said your phone is too hot. It needs to shut off or some crap. It's 20 degrees outside.
So, Jim, we can hear you loud and clear. All right. We cannot see you.
Oh, hang on.
And he's back.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you right now, folks, the iPhone is a piece of crap.
Whoa. You blame this on the iPhone?
Yes. Oh, my. It was the iPhone. I got the stupid hot warning. It needs to turn the phone off, and I can't do anything except make an emergency call. Doesn't understand I'm in the middle of a show right now. Like, if it was a Samsung phone, it would have just stayed hot and eventually melted and burned up, but I still would have had audio and video.
Now, let me ask. You have your phone on your dashboard. Is it, like, on a heat vent?
No, actually, the heat's off in the car. Nothing's on.
Okay, just want to make sure because that would be bad.
Yeah, I don't know anymore. I can't figure this crap out. Get off my lawn!
All right. Anyways, so we've talked Cobra Kai season 4. We talked Danielson's young son who is becoming a school bully, and he gets what he deserves. Mm-hmm. We've seen a change in philosophy from Johnny Lawrence's son, who at the end of the season realized the Cobra Kai way maybe isn't the best way. So that's a storyline for next season. Will he fully commit away from Cobra Kai? What else do you think next season will hold?
So I think they're going to bring back Hillary Swank's character. That's what I think.
That's what you hope.
Yeah, I think they're going to tie this all together. I think they have to. Like,
yeah.
I think at some point you got to bring back, you know, you got to bring Hillary Swank into the mix. You got to bring the other Karate Kid movie into the mix. Yeah, got to tie it all together. I still think somewhere along the line, they're going to introduce some character, mysterious character, like maybe a long lost son of Mr. Miyagi or something like that. Because if you listen to some of the things they say, you know, that one guy was like, you don't know everything about Mr. Miyagi that you think you do. I mean, it opens it up for something like that. Some badass dude to show up out of nowhere, be like, I'm Mr. Miyagi's real son. You know, that kind of thing. I'm just hypothetically guessing here, but.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I don't think they'll do that.
Damn it.
Mr. Miyagi's wife and child died, and that's a big part of his background. I think it would kind of tarnish him to say he's got some long-lost kid out there that he didn't know.
Yeah, I know. But it's a very soap opera-ish kind of way to go. But.
I would like to see Hillary Swank, though. That would be awesome to connect that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then Terry Silver had his prize pupil from Karate Kid 3 that we haven't seen yet.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Who fought Danielson in the finale of Karate Kid 3. So I think there's a chance we might see him come back.
That'd be cool. I mean, how many more seasons do you realistically think they can go with this? Maybe two?
I think right now they're only contracted for one more. When they signed with Netflix, it was for season 4 and 5. So right now it's probably only one more season.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, the crew that they have, not just like the actors and actresses and stuff, but the writers and stuff, man, phenomenal. Like the story. And they tie it all together with these soundtracks and the right music for what they're doing. And just everything ties together perfectly on that. It's one of those shows where you watch it and you literally have to binge watch it. You can't stop. Imagine if they only release an episode every week.
That would be tough because I don't know about you, but I watched the entire season over the course of a day and a half.
Yeah, I did it over 4 days just because, you know, my mother-in-law was in town and she was watching the Hallmark Channel all the time. So,
yeah, likely story.
But I, yep. But I did listen. It was one of like the last three seasons. I mean, I watched them all within a matter of 24 to 48 hours. I was done. So yeah, sleep is not an option when Cobra Kai is on.
All right. I think what we're going to do next is add in a guest.
Oh yeah.
So while I'm setting that up, why don't you talk a little bit about Bob Saget?
Man, it's I would say that's the good television dad that everybody grew up watching. You know, it's just one of those shows. Everybody watched Full House, and everybody watched those shows. Everybody did.
Yeah.
If you didn't, and you're saying you didn't, you probably did. So, you know what I mean? Everybody watched that show growing up. Everybody enjoyed it. It was like watching. I sometimes like watching your own family.
And Bob Saget being like America's dad, basically.
Yeah.
Don't forget it.
America's good dad.
Don't forget at the same time, he was doing America's Funniest Home Videos.
Don't forget it.
America's good dad. Hey.
Don't forget at the same time, he was doing America's Funniest Home Videos. Don't forget it.
America's good
game.
Hey.
Don't forget it at the same time.
You
was.
So we got an audio loop situation going on. yeah. So let's bring in our guest, Joe B. There he is.
Hey.
We got an audio loop situation going on.
Joe, if you could stop the live stream that you're watching.
Yeah. So let's bring in our guest, Joe B.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing good. Oh,
good. How are you doing?
I think you need to stop your live stream.
Joe, if you could stop the live stream that you're watching.
Yeah, that's what I'm working on right now. I got it on pause. When I do that, can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes.
And I don't hear you, so I'm going to, I think, try my headset off because for some reason that is giving me the audio. I apologize for this.
Yeah. Oh, no problem. It's been one of those days.
We hear you loud and clear.
Trying to find out why I don't have audio without
you guys.
Can you speak up now? Maybe I took off my headset.
All right.
I can hear
us now. I only hear you before from the live stream.
Let's bring in our guest, Joe B.
And there it is again.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Yes. Let's find out why the audio is not working here.
Well, you've had several introductions this episode. I think you've set the record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, this seems like a good time to take another break. We'll give Joe B a chance to do something there, and we'll be right back.
Hey.
All right, we're going to try this one more time. We're going to bring in Joe B. And voila, there he is. I don't think he can hear us. Well, he looks very studious as he's...
He does. He's got a very official office and very official...
Yeah. Everything's set the way it was. I was hearing it fine. Let's see.
Yep,
there's our update.
Yep.
All right, I think I got it, guys. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you.
All right, I can hear you too. So sorry about that. For some reason, when we went live, that's what happened.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, there's Bob Saget right in your background. You've got a Obey Saget. Is that a giveaway?
That was. It was part of the swag, along with these nice little shot glasses. And oh, that's cool. It was surreal to be around that group of people. And first of all, to be in, the red carpet going there. I was fortunate enough to win a all expense paid trip for my wife and I, August 3rd, 2008, to go to the Bob Saget Comedy Roast, courtesy of Comedy Central and MTV. And I had won a Northeast sales contest with Time Warner for advertising and marketing on Comedy Central and MTV. So it was like a 3-day notice. Pack your bags. We're going to put you up on Santa Monica on the beach in a hotel. We're going to have a private driver pick you up at the airport. So they really made us all feel like you were billionaires. I mean, it was that kind of an experience. And then they took us to parties, at cabanas on the beach, and they hosted them. And it was just amazing. And they then sent a driver the night of the roast early before the show to get us there early enough to get seated and watch them all come in and everything. So when the show started, it was like you're in a big nightclub and the stage was at the end, but you were on a soundstage at Warner Brothers. And I took that off the internet recently, but you know, when you're listening to these people and you've seen them on TV all these years, it's just incredible because I had no idea. Bob Saget was so raunchy. His whole career, I guess, at comedy was pretty much that way. And I really wasn't that familiar with it. until we went there. And then to listen to even Cloris Leachman, you know, saying some of the things that she said, it was just crazy.
We're seeing some of the photos that you sent us from your trip out there. So that the post party outdoors, right?
Right. So what they did is after they had taped the show, they opened up the doors and you were let outside from the soundstage onto a city street you've seen in a million movies, you know, bits and pieces of it. And so the party, you went through that entrance there, and anybody and everybody was there. All the people that roasted them. You'll see some of the other ones. We were hanging with Brian Posen, Cloris Leachman, Jeff Garland, Susie Essman, and there was this little like white picket fenced area where Bob was and John Stamos and a few others, and then they would wander out of that little garden area and hang with all of us. And you know, it was funny that they took that picture of us. They even gave us a gift card for incidentals that you had to buy for $500. It was like crazy. And so when you're hanging on the city street, they had bars on the, you know, bars set up, you know, where you could get drinks all along the street. They had cigar girls running around with cigar boxes and giving out cigarettes, cigars, anything you wanted. And then all these stars that were in the audience or were the roasters were mingling with all of us. So that picture, I don't know if you have it handy with, we were towards later in the night, Cloris Leachman showed up. I mean, she was there all along, but we didn't see her until it was probably midnight. This thing went on till, well, I think it was after 1 o'clock. And so this is like midnight.
Yeah, this is Cloris Leachman with your wife.
Yeah, that's my wife, Patty. And it was so surreal. There's me, and I looked like I had about 12 drinks in me. Yep, you're right.
I was going to say, you look a little blotto.
Yeah, it was that picture I wasn't going to send you, but I said, I got to send it. It's the only good one I have with her. And it was so funny. But the one, if you look at the one with Jeff Garland and Susie Essman, I mean, they were so nice that they were just hanging with us. And then Susie jumped in that picture to be in it.
Jeff Garland and Susie Essman, who are both in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Curb Your Enthusiasm, right. And then, you know, if you see the picture with TJ,
TJ Miller.
Miller, oh my God. He and his girlfriend hung with my wife and I, like, I bet you an hour and a half, 2 hours. Everywhere we walked around, they were with us. And it's funny because I had just seen, he was in a show right before that got canceled that was called Carpoolers. And so that show had just, and I liked that show. And it was the first time I had ever seen him in anything. And I'm like, wow, man, I loved your show. And he was like, that just kind of was like one of the first things I said to him. And then he and his girlfriend just hung with us like all night long, practically. But, you know, it's funny because I look back at it, as soon as we, I think it was as soon as we got back, we saw it on TV and I saw Patty and I in the audience in two sections. I think I sent you in that email. We're in like when Gilbert Godfrey was roasting him is the one that I can still find. Because they only show the audience for a couple seconds in here and there.
Yeah.
But it was like 56 minutes, some odd seconds, I think. But Guilford, when he's roasting them, and he said some I mean, they all said hilariously terrible, funny things that the whole place was just – I literally hurt so bad from laughing for like 2 hours. It was just one – you know,
Joe. Pain
you were just holding yourself.
You got to see the entire roast because when it airs on TV, they edit heavily. And
oh, yeah, it's down to like a less than an hour, I think, or right around an hour.
Yeah. So one of the most famous things that happened that night at the Bob Saget roast was Norm MacDonald, who also recently passed away.
Yeah.
Norm did an entire set where he told jokes.
Bad jokes.
Intentionally bad jokes that were all from like the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to see his entire set, whereas us, the viewing audience, only saw about 7 minutes of what he did. And I actually have a photo here of him.
Yeah, I took that picture. Yeah, he was funny. And I'm a Norm Macdonald fan from way back. And literally, the audience thought he was having a stroke because it really, people weren't laughing real hard at him that night. I mean, it was, now looking back retrospectively, it's been written up many times that it was brilliant and it was his best work ever because he was so cerebral, and the way his delivery was, you literally, everybody's shaking their heads going, like scratching their head going, what's Norm talking about? Why is he doing this? Everybody else was pinpoint focused on Saget and just lambasting him. And Norm, we all thought he was suffering from a stroke that night. And then later on, hearing the buzz about it.
Norm was like a very good friend of Bob Saget's, and he didn't want to say anything bad about him. Mm-hmm. And he happened to have a book from like the 1940s, and it was like jokes to tell at a retirement.
Exactly.
And he was just reading those jokes. And, you know, now it's looked at as one of the classic comedy bits of all time because it was like one of those things where you're anti-comedy. Like, he was trying so hard to not be funny that he's actually extremely funny.
Yeah. If you look back at it, too, Cloris Leachman had an incredible zinger on him when she came out. I can't remember it exactly, but she was like,
I can
like she didn't want him to go some of it. Like, I have a restraining order on you or something like that.
Yeah.
Stay away from me.
She said, I'm not here to honor Bob Saget. I'm here to F John Stamos. That was one of her lines.
Yeah. And that was coming from her. That's how she started, I think, her set. It was from there. It just craziness.
So any other memories from that night? Anything that you recall, like, that you saw?
Oh, absolutely. This was craziness. This is, again, when Cloris Leachman, when we finally ran into her, because the place is packed. It's a city street, and you're just mingling around with all these people and hanging out, and they had, like, little cabanas set up where you could sit down and drink with people. And then when it got later, this person in a hoodie showed up, and everybody's like buzzing around. Lindsay Lohan snuck in. She wasn't invited, you know, and it's like stars are. And so I took a picture of her when she walked by, and I think I sent you a copy of that. She's got a hoodie on because her girlfriend was the big DJ who we'd never heard of, but she was a real big time DJ at the day. And she had this tower built on the sidewalk that was like maybe 10 feet above the street, and the DJ was up there, and it was a woman, a young woman. And it turns out it was Lindsay Lohan's girlfriend. And, she had already come out of the closet by then. There should be a picture with a girl with a hoodie on the drive that I sent. And it's a picture.
Do you know who this is? What this picture is?
You know, he was seen in the audience. He's a big comedian. And I don't know his name, but I took the picture because I'd seen him in movies and things. And an Asian actor that was funny. But you see him in the audience early on as well, up close. In that picture, let's see if I got it on that picture that I put up, with all the people that they called roasters that weren't necessarily roasters. Let's see.
Well, here's the hoodie.
Yeah. There's the Lindsay picture. And it's funny. She zipped by us with her, like, with the hoodie over her head so nobody could see her. And literally, she climbed up and she was up with a DJ up there and they were talking. And then they escorted her out. I mean, literally, security came in and escorted her out. And that's when everybody started talking about it. And it was Lindsay Lohan that got kicked out because she wasn't invited. And it was funny, but you're on a back lot at Warner Brothers. I mean, when you pulled in, when our driver pulled in and we were in a private car, it was like a Lexus SUV black. That's what all the people that were like us were escorted in with. We had our own private cars with private drivers. So there was like a line of them. And you had to go through the Warner Brothers gate to get on the lot. And then we just, when we came out, it was so surreal after this, because it was probably 1-ish in the morning, maybe 1:30.
Yeah.
The party started breaking up, and we just found our car, thank God, you know, and because we knew where to go. And yeah. And then we drove by Groman's Chinese Theater. He took us by, because I said, could you take us for the view for the ride through Hollywood? Because my wife had
sure.
never been here.
Sure.
And I had. I lived in Beverly Hills. I was fortunate enough to live for the summer of 83 with a buddy of mine. So I was familiar with the area. So we went by, you know, the big Capitol Record building. And, like, we're pretty sloshed at this point. But it was so surreal. And I got blurry pictures. I got, like, all the pictures I didn't send you. It's all blurry pictures and stuff like that. And but it was, so, I'll tell you, just grateful to have been there.
Yeah. So you would sum it up as, like, a kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah, it's an opportunity that I'll never probably ever see anything like that in my life again. And it was so surreal that it was like, you know, just crazy hanging with those people. They had no clue who I was. I could have been an actor just like them, which I have a degree in theater, so it's very possible. But they treated us like we were one of them. And to be in that group of people and being treated that way, and people like Susie Essman jumping in to just being in the picture, was just surreal. It was so funny. And they were just down to earth, regular people that night, you know, all having
That's
a good
cool.
time and celebrating Bob Saget, who was a phenomenal talent. Yeah.
And there you are, Blotto.
Back up again, Joe. Yeah. Not my proudest moment.
That's a happy
photo. Although I do look more inebriated than I was, I must admit.
Yeah. So, final thoughts on Bob Saget. And, you know, obviously
you can't believe it. He's just a few years older than me. I'm shocked that at 65 he was taken out. You know, it appears to be a heart attack, I would think. Haven't heard much about it. They said nothing was found at the scene that would make you feel any otherwise. He had been tweeting out probably hours before he died, because he was doing his routine. He was down in Florida, and so who knows?
He was he was scheduled to come to Rochester coming up.
I heard that.
I would have looked. Gig. I
would have loved to have seen that. So,
right.
You know what? He's one of those shining stars that gave us a lot of entertainment and shared, you know, himself with us. And we got to be grateful for people like that have that opportunity and that talent, and just remember them for what they were. And, you know, and he won't be the last this year that we see of great people that are taken from us too early, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, not to be too down, but we've lost Bob Saget, Norm Macdonald, and Cloris Leachman all recently, and they were all part of that night.
And Betty White, you know. And I would have loved to have met her, but you know, it's interesting. You know, we have no idea. You know, when you meet somebody, it's like I saw Tom Petty. You know, years ago. And then I had the fortune of going to his concert again, right before he died. And I'm like, I never would have guessed that would have been the last time I would have had an opportunity to see him. So, you know, anytime I think you got a chance to see someone like a Bob Saget, you have to jump at it, you know, and that's all you can do, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thank you so much for including me today. Sorry, I had some a little bit of audio trouble to begin with, but hey, I
wouldn't
have your car overheating my phone either.
It's been one of those days, but we appreciate you being on the show and telling that story and sharing all those
great
photos.
Great to have you, Joe. Great to have you.
Take care, guys. Have a wonderful day.
Take care.
Thanks again.
You thanks, too. Joe.
Bye-bye now.
All right. So there we had it. Some insight from someone who was there in attendance for the Comedy Central roast of Bob Saget.
That had to have been awesome.
Yeah, that's the kind of night you remember for a long time.
Yeah,
even if you drink as much as Joe B. apparently did, based on that one photo.
Yeah, Joe B., your cheeks were rosy. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take one more break and then come back with Baloney Nation right after this.
What's going on? What's up, man?
So, you know, this show has been a total wreck. Just an absolute mess.
Absolute train wreck. But you know what?
Absolute. But we're back. And we're live, kind of.
Yeah. I will say this, man. In lieu of this impending snowstorm that's coming, the temperature's dropped about 7-8 degrees now. And it's definitely got a lot colder in the car. And I just now realized that I had the vent on behind my cell phone, just as you predicted.
So you did.
And that. Yeah. So I thought I had the vent off, but they're actually opposite on each side. So what I thought was off on the right was on the left. So I actually turned it on before the call started.
Wow. I guess you did. Chalk that up to you live and you learn, right?
Hey, who knew?
So we're into the Baloney Nation portion of the show. As you can see from the phone number on the screen, or if you're listening at home, it's 585-484-1770. This is where you can talk to us directly. Send us a question. We'll answer it. Comment on YouTube, and we'll answer it.
Yeah, and we don't care.
Yeah. Now, before we get to these questions, let's just briefly, you know, this is our first show in a while, and we hadn't done many shows lately. This is our 81st episode overall. That's quite a few.
Yes. That's pretty impressive.
But things have worked their way back to where I think we can be regularly scheduled once again.
Yeah. Yep. So, I think it's going to fall right into play.
So most likely live Sundays at 2, occasionally taped and released on a Sunday.
Yep.
But we should be more or less back to where we were.
Times are looking up.
Which brings us to Aunt Paula, who writes, "So you both are idiots. Can you start doing a podcast each week again?"
Yes, I think we can.
Yeah. Do you have anything you want to say directly to Aunt Paula?
I hope your dog bite infection gets worse.
Wow.
Hey, listen, I do got to say, and this kind of ties into something else we're going to talk about, but
yeah.
So Aunt Paula has been dropping off these bags of every once in a while she gets, because she's a chain smoker. So she smokes enough cigarettes that they give her free coupons for free things, and she's been getting us free beef jerky. And
O'Reilly.
Yes. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just shocked that she's giving you beef jerky. That's like right up your alley.
Yeah. So she got me this free beef jerky, and the company, I don't have the bag with me, but the company is called, it's either Two Jerks Beef Jerky or Three Jerks Beef Jerky. And I got to say, it's some of the best beef jerky I've ever had. You know,
wow.
Obviously, I'm not happy with the fact that, you know, that beef jerky is coming from someone killing themselves with cancer sticks. But,
wow.
Hey, it's free beef jerky. You know what I mean? Free beef jerky. Can you really turn that down?
Well, I'll be surprised if she still gives you free beef jerky after what you just said about her. But
listen, we'll get back to doing a show every week there, Aunt Paula, so you can get something to write in about and tell us what we did wrong. Or
I'm sure there's a lot you could say about this week's show. I mean.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Your phone was on your heater. All right. Here's another thing that isn't good. On our tour of Elmira, New York, YouTube, we have a comment, your jokes are not just bad, they are really bad. And that's from Princess K. Jim?
Well, if you were I do have something to say on this. If you were watching it for the jokes, jokes on you, pal.
Okay. You know, I think that was... what happened is we went for a Norm MacDonald type routine.
Yeah.
Right? You know, our jokes are bad because they're meant to be bad, and then they're funnier because they are bad.
Exactly. And there was some touristy stuff in there to help the local economy with tourism and things like that. And we were pointing out some of the obvious faults with the exits and entrances to the city and things like that. And, you know, what the people see, because we're here for the people. We're here for the masses to show them what we see when we come into the city of Elmira.
Yeah. And I think if you look back since that video was released, tourism in Elmira is up 14%.
Huh.
I possibly made that number up. We'll never know, but that's what I hear.
We don't. But you know what? It's out there now. 14%, and we're running with it. It'll be on the nightly news tonight. Tourism is up 14%. We have no polls taken, nothing. But it is what it is. We say it's up 14%, it's up 14%.
If you can't disprove it, then it must be true.
Exactly.
Speaking of our tour of Elmira video, we already looked at that one.
At Princess K, really.
In that one. Hang on a second. I have to import this one from Carl Cook, who says, who is this clown? Do you know what Carl Cook?
No.
Oh.
Nor does anybody else.
Who is Carl Cook?
You know, that's funny.
For a second there, I thought he was talking about Mark Twain. Like maybe this guy's some kind of illiterate, you know, probably from the south side of Elmira.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know who Mark Twain is. That's what I thought. Yeah. Maybe.
I wouldn't doubt it. He probably still thinks Mark Twain's real name is Carl Cook.
All right, so we got past all the negative, you know. We've had some negative comments, mostly Aunt Paula, but other people.
Yeah. I mean, you take the good with the bad. It is what it is. You got to be fair and balanced.
Yeah, that's what we're about.
Yeah.
Our last question for this episode. I was never a big John Cena fan, but he is amazing in Peacemaker. What do you guys think?
I absolutely think the Peacemaker show rules. And I was never a big John Cena fan myself either. And I got to say, the Peacemaker, listen, the opening dance skip, when they give you the option to skip over it, I don't. Yeah. I watch it because it's funny. You see something new every time. But I love the fact that his character stays in character the entire show.
Yeah.
I mean, other than when he's wandering around in his underwear. But other than that, I mean, I did not realize how raunchy John Cena could be.
Oh, it's big time, right?
Yes. My gosh. Well, it's the Bella's loss, right?
So we're taking a look here at the cast photo of Peacemaker, which is on HBO Max. 3 episodes are out right now. New episodes every Thursday.
I already watched all 3.
Yeah, you had to, right?
Yeah,
it was good. It's actually a good show. It's funny. Yeah. John Cena's in his underwear probably way too much, but
way too much. But hey, I understand. you know, they're selling tickets.
Has Melly Mel seen the show?
I don't think she's watching. I did, however, tell her, you really do need to watch this because this is a whole different side of John Cena that you're probably, you know, not accustomed to. And you'll probably want to do a lot of pause and rewind on it, too.
Yeah, because she's a used to be a big fan, right? And now
yes.
doesn't like yep. him because of what happened with the
I Bellas? Guess what happened with the Bellas or something. I'm not 100% sure, but oh, wait, no, it's because he left his wife.
Oh, his first wife?
His first wife to go with one of the Bellas. I think that's why.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned John Cena. You didn't know how raunchy he could be. Well, if you saw a train wreck with Amy Schumer, he's really good in that.
Yes. Yeah, I did see that movie.
And I felt like that movie probably established him in Hollywood as like a guy you can go to for like raunchy humor because he's done a lot of it since then.
You know, and he's a big dude. You know, he's all, yeah. you know, that body like Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of thing. And like, but, you know, his comedy, I got to hand it. It's comedy's top notch. I got to say, you know, it surprised me.
Yeah. He can act, you know, he's.
Yeah.
He's, sometimes wrestlers, you know, do yeah. stuff and you kind of like, he's okay. But I think John Cena is yeah. actually good.
Yeah, and he's not afraid to put himself out there and try something. So I got to give him credit for that.
Yeah. All right. I think we can almost wrap this awful episode up. But
you know what? I think we're going to have to go through and do another tour of Elmira at some point here coming up once it warms up. Because,
as we all know, there's yeah. way too much to see in Elmira to fit into one 4-minute video.
Yeah, I mean, we'd at least have to probably go 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think there's another 2-3 minutes we can squeeze out.
Yeah, there's probably another 3 minutes of Elmira that we didn't show. I mean, it's, you know, it's, hey, that's if they ever fix the bridges so you can actually go across to the south side. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, who am I? You know what I mean?
Well, we're not going to the south side. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing on the south side. Obviously.
Yeah. Or no.
Yeah. There's one bridge left to go to the south side. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. I think what you've seen is the people on the north side have slowly been working on a plan to totally cut off the south side. And, you know, yeah. they're almost there. One more bridge, and then they're gone.
You got to think about it. Like, yeah, it's the north side. Obviously, the bridge inspector lives on the north side. So he's like, oh, no, these bridges are not safe. Start shutting them down. And before they even shut them down, they're like, chisel out the blacktop first so they can't get across no matter what.
I think,
good idea.
I think the only question left is Pudgy's has to get back on the north side.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we need a Pudgy's Pizza back on the north side. I mean, that's the only thing really left over there to go to do is Pudgy's.
Yeah, we're kind of cheated, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly don't know anybody that goes to Pudgy's and then stays on the south side to eat it. Everybody goes to Pudgy's, picks up their pizza, and then leaves the south side and goes back to the north side.
Oh, leaves the south side as quickly as you can.
Yeah, yeah.
They should just put up signs, fastest route to leave south side.
Yeah, yeah, and the closest bridge to Pudgy's is closed.
Yeah.
Someone's thinking.
Well,
anyway.
We did have a couple of YouTube comments this episode, mostly referring to all the technical problems, but someone mentioned you maybe should have a pen and paper handy in case the audio goes out. So you can keep that in mind for next time. We'll pen and paper.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Got it.
Problem solved. That's what we do.
Thanks,
here.
Captain,
we solve
obvious.
Problems. All right.
Excellent. All right. was a great episode.
Yeah, oh, the best. Only quality here in 2022. This is our first episode of 2022. Hey. We're really at...
Yeah, we pretty much effed it up. But hey, you know what? It is what it is. Everything happens. Hey.
But we'll be back next week, I think, possibly. Probably.
Oh, yeah. Bang, bang.
All right, Jim Deasy. Take big it guy. Easy.
Hey, big guy, stay tall.
I guess.
Yeah, I guess. All right.